I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
Tonight, I'm going to call this series, How to Commune with the Holy Spirit. How to commune with the Holy Spirit. And when you talk about communing with the Holy Spirit, you're talking about getting to know Him in an intimate way, in a deep, purposeful, intimate manner. The reason why it's so important for us to come to the point where we come to know the Holy Spirit, because, you know, when you talk about operating in a new covenant and you're talking about operating in a new covenant, number one, and then number two, you're talking about the Holy Spirit being, I believe, the administrator of that new covenant. Think about what the new covenant is about. It is an unconditional covenant that has nothing to do with your performance. It's an unconditional covenant where it's simply asking that you believe in Jesus and in His finished works. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need to commune with the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I'm going to show you why it's so important to speak in tongues, because without speaking in tongues, you know, how can I commune with Him? How can I get to know Him? How can I have fellowship with Him? You know, when you want to get to know somebody, you got to have communication with Him. You got to spend time. You got to talk to Him. You got to have communication. And yet we know how important it is to come to know the Holy Spirit, but we leave out the part where we're, you know, talking to Him and allowing Him to talk to us. It is not just a monologue where you're doing all the talking, but it is a dialogue. And through that dialogue with the Holy Spirit, you develop intimacy with Him. And what happens is, as you begin to pray in the Spirit and spend a considerable amount of time praying in tongues, a whole lot more than what you're probably doing now, as you begin to do that, then you begin to develop your and sharpen your hearing so you can be aware of when He's talking to you. You can be aware of when He's speaking to you. I tell you, that's just been an amazing, amazing thing in my life. I got another dog story. I think maybe three Saturdays ago, the dog got out. It was nighttime. I didn't know the gate was open, and he got out. And so I'm sitting in the house. I've already fed him and taken care of him. And the Lord said, go outside and check on Rocky. And I went outside, and, you know, the command is, you know, Rocky here, and clap my hands, and he's there. But this time, he was nowhere around. And he's kind of like an old junkyard dog. He stays around his little area, and that's what he monitors, unless there's an opportunity that arises. And so as it was getting darker, you know, the Holy Spirit's talking to me, get in the truck. And I had my house shoes on, and he said, no, I'll put some tennis shoes on. And I got out, and I went to looking for Rocky. And I'm like, where do I begin? So I turned right, and I looked around here. I couldn't find him. And I finally stopped and acknowledged the Holy Spirit. I said, now, Holy Spirit, unless you show me, I don't know where to begin. I don't know where he is. I don't know nothing unless you show me. And it wasn't in a panic. It was from our relationship. See, the objective of praying in tongues and spending time with the Holy Spirit is that relationship with Him, okay? And from that relationship, I heard Him clear as I'm, you know, you were to talk to me, and He said, go over the railroad tracks and just keep going. And I did that, went over railroad tracks. I kept going. He said, look to the left. I heard this. Look, and there go Rocky sitting right there. So I pulled in the driveway, and I said, Rocky. And he thought it was playtime. And so I'm in, I don't know who front yard I'm in. And finally, you know, there was somebody else pulled off the road to try to get him, which amazed me. But he's been trained to protect me. So when they got out, then the playtime was over with. He got between me and him like, he don't get it twisted just because I'm wagging my tail. I don't know you. And I grabbed him and I said, but I can't even be mad at you. And I thought, I told Taffy, had it not been for the relationship of the Holy Spirit and hear Him speaking to me, He wants to speak to you outside of church. Yeah. Yeah. And He wants to talk to you about life things. But that times communing with the Holy Spirit, like you take time fellowshipping with other people, it develops a relationship where you can hear them and they can hear you. If there's ever a time we need to hear from the Holy Spirit and we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it would be now. And I tell you, you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit through this covenant of grace. You know, a lot of people don't understand grace of God because it takes the Holy Spirit to escort you through this covenant of grace. This covenant of grace has many layers to it, and you need the Spirit of grace to take you through that. So speaking in tongues is a vital part of that communion. So tonight we're going to talk about the five awesome harvests that comes as a result of speaking in tongues. Number one, when you pray in tongues, you're gonna see intimacy like you've never seen before. Number two, when you pray in tongues, you're gonna see peace come forth like never before. Not peace that the world is used to, but peace that comes from that Jesus left you. Number three, when you pray in tongues, you're gonna unlock mysteries. Hidden things that were not made, you were not aware of in your thinking. Number four, when you pray in tongues, and I love this, he's gonna show you where to go. He's gonna give you direction, hallelujah, and he's gonna show you where to go. And then number five, he strengthens you as a result of you praying in tongues. And praying in tongues is something that we should do all the time. Let's begin. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to notice right here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And he says, notice what he said. You can pray all prayer and you can pray supplications. Watch this, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now, to pray in the Spirit is to pray with not just our head or our mind. Listen to me. When you're praying in English, you're praying with your head and your mind. But to pray in the Spirit is not just praying with your head and mind, but with the inspirational help and ability of the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying with the inspiration, with the help, and the ability, not with just your head and your mind, not just with what you know. But when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying with the inspiration and the ability and the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's this, I used to refer to it as the perfect prayer. It's the perfect prayer. You have his help, you have his ability, you have his inspiration when you're praying in the Spirit. And he says you can pray all your prayers and your supplications in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now, when you see that phrase, praying in the Spirit, the majority of the time it's talking about praying in tongues. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, when you pray in tongues, what prays? My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So praying in the Spirit, look at it again, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Look what he said. Notice, praying always, watch this, in the Spirit. Praying always in the Spirit. And we've not always prayed in the Spirit. We, I don't know, sometimes people think it's just, well, forget about all that. I'm just going to pray out of my head and out of your mind. But the problem is your head is limited to all the issues that need to be covered in prayer. But the inspiration and the help and the ability of the Holy Spirit helps you to pray about things you don't know about, praise God. So praying in the Spirit, I'm telling you, in the season we're in right now, the thing that's going to separate us, the thing that's holy, remember, holy means to stand apart from the world. That's what it means to be holy. You are set apart from the world. When they're sick, you're healed. When they're sad, you're full of joy. You're holy because you're set apart from the world. And what's going to set us apart from the world is people that are always praying in the Spirit. And when they look at us, they don't understand why the goodness of God is just over our lives. Oh, watch this. The favor of God is over our life because we're praying always in the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I decide tonight to increase my time praying in the Spirit. So this encompasses all true praying, whatever the form of it takes. The Bible says we should always do our praying in the Spirit. Now look at Jude verse 20. we should always do our praying in the Spirit, praying always in the Spirit. And I tell you what, I hope this just gets you so stirred up where you're, you know, sometimes, you know, Taff and I, we open our eyes at Ababashana, praying in the Spirit, because once you understand the impact that comes from living a life praying in the Spirit, you get hungry for that. And you begin to know. You know, somebody says, well, I've been praying in the Spirit for 2 days, ain't nothing happened yet. Listen, when you start certain things and start believing God, you gotta know how to go through the dry points. You gotta know how to, even when you operate by faith, there are gonna be some dry spots. You gotta go through the dry spots, man. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, go through the dry spots. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Amen. All right, now look at this verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how do I build myself up? Now, I'll show you a little later on. He's talking about building yourself up. The implication here is building yourself up, spirit, soul, body. All the tripart being of man is built up by praying in the Spirit. Your spirit is built up. Your soul, if it's broken, it'll be built up. Your body, if it's going through changes, it will be built up. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What is it? Praying in the Holy Ghost. I asked the Lord, I said, what's the difference between holy faith and most holy faith? And look, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, what do? When I pray in the Holy Ghost, after I finish praying a little in the Holy Ghost, I say, Lord, I believe I received that, and I release most holy faith for it to come to pass. Somebody says, but you don't know what you just said, but I know it was good. And so I'm going to go ahead and release my faith for it to come to pass. But he said, praying in the Holy Ghost. That is, again, making reference to praying in tongues. So I want to talk to you about five reasons to pray in tongues. Number one, five reasons to pray in tongues here. These manifestations, this is amazing. And this is how we commune with God. If you understand how and why and to pray in tongues, you'll understand how it's going to increase your communing time with God. So the first one is praying in the Spirit opens the door to deeper intimacy. Praying in the Spirit opens the door to deeper intimacy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 in the Message translation. I'm going to read it out of there. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Praying in the Spirit increases deeper intimacy with Him. And I'm telling you, I know this to be true. I feel like, you know, as I was looking over this, I don't know when I wrote this sermon, maybe a couple of months ago, but one of the things I realize is that all of the years that we've been doing that, all of the years where we believe in God, and I just remember the intimacy of praying in the Holy Spirit will lead you to even a deeper prayer. We'll talk about that next Wednesday, called groanings in the Spirit. And you probably have entered into groanings but didn't know what it was at the time. And when you understand these things, man, you begin to see it with great understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, 2, the Message translation, please. Y'all got it? There you go. If you praise Him in the private language of tongues. Now, you have to be careful, because most people, when they hear talking in tongues, because of their lack of knowledge, they think something's wrong with you talking in tongues if you don't have the interpretation. There is a gift of a couple of things. There's a public display of tongues where somebody gives a message in tongues and it requires an interpretation in order for the whole public to be edified by it. Secondly, there's a gift of tongues where some person, individual, can speak in tongues and come right behind and give the interpretation. But then there's the prayer, the private language of speaking in tongues. And so what happens is we used to be in corporate prayer, praying in tongues. People used to come in rebuking us, talking about y'all out of order. And they were out of order. They were ignorant and unlearned. They didn't understand that there was a language of praying in tongues. This is what this is referring to. If you praise Him in the private language of tongues, private means there is no interpretation required because it's private. If you praise Him in the private language of tongues, God understands you. but no one else does. It's private, all right? For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. Just between you and him. So your private language of tongues is designed for intimacies just between you and him. My God. And I'm telling you, you can increase intimacy with the Holy Spirit when you begin to speak in tongues by praying in the Spirit and feeding on God's word. What did I just say? Praying in the Spirit and what? Come on, praying in the Spirit and what? When you spend time praying in the Spirit and feed yourself God's word every day, you will intimately connect with him. You will intimately connect with him. Praying in the Spirit, you're intimately talking to him, getting in the word. That's one way you can feed on the word, and that word speaks back to you. The word of God helps to tune your hearing so you can hear from the Holy Spirit when he starts speaking to you. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, but the word tunes your hearing to hear from him when, as you begin to develop more and more intimacy with him. And so when you talk about communing, you're talking about to converse or to talk together. You know, when you commune with somebody, you're conversing, you're talking together. There is a intimacy that's developed as a result of speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, it's one of these things that, you know, we got to be careful not to turn church in to the most selfish hour ever. I'm going to church to get something for me. I got a problem, so I'm going to God for me. I'm getting in the word because I'm in trouble. I'm going to go to church on Wednesday night because I need something. When is it ever going to just be like, because I just love him? Because I have a relationship with him. Because I just want to. You understand what I'm saying? Not because I have to. Or I feel I need to fulfill the obligation to. You know, I'm here tonight because I want to be here tonight. Amen? Not because I'm trying to keep up with somebody. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for him. And you know what? I'm praying for the body of Christ. God, give them a hunger and a thirst for God. People not as thirsty as they used to be. But I thank God that he will restore the hunger and the thirst for him. Not for what he can do for you. No, not for what he can do for you. Listen, God's already made promises. Those promises are going to come to pass. Amen? But God still wants us to want him because we want him. I mean, how would you like it if the only reason people have a relationship with you is because of what they can get from you? That wouldn't be fun at all, right? You want to be wanted just to be wanted. You want to go to God and pray, not because that makes you a good Christian, but you genuinely just love him. You're thankful for the previous day. You think about what he did the previous day, and you know that you don't even know how that happened. And you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And do not forget to give him thanks. Just thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's look at the second reason why believers ought to pray in tongues. Praying in the Spirit produces peace within. Praying in the Spirit produces peace within. Let's look at Galatians 5:22 in the New Living Translation, please. Galatians 5:22, the New Living Translation. When you pray in the Spirit, you produce peace within. You produce peace within. Now, Satan's total objective is, how can I move peace out from within you and replace it with chaos and stress and the problems of the world? Now, I tell you one thing, you got to be careful. I ain't saying it's a sin to look at news, but too much of it, man, will get on the inside of you and start moving stuff, and you turn it off, start walking away, can't even figure out what's wrong with you. You know, you irritable for no reason. Oh, hey, how you doing? Why? Because you've been looking at the news all day. All right? And so there's a peace that's in you. There's a peace that can be stirred up on the inside of you. In fact, when you're in times of stress and you feel like you're overwhelmed by the issues of life, find a corner when you get home. Lay on your bed and just grabos ra rabra, pray in tongues, and there's a peace that will come on the inside. And he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love is one, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It stirs up the love of God, but it produces peace in your life. Now let's look at some of the things that Jesus said about this peace that's in our life, because true peace, and true peace literally is God's peace. True peace is stability in the midst of difficulties. True peace in the midst of turmoil, there's stability there. It is the ability to remain mentally, emotionally, and physically, and spiritually, watch this, calm and collected in the midst of problems. Calm and collected in the midst of problems. That's this peace. Look at John 14, 27. He said, peace I leave with you. So it's the Jesus peace. He said, peace I leave with you. And then he was very, very, very focused. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives peace. The world gives a false sense of security, okay? But we're talking about in the midst of turmoil. That's what real peace is. Peace is security in the midst of turmoil. Secure, you can feel secure and calm in the midst of trouble. Why? Because that's Jesus' peace. Now, when you don't have that Jesus peace, what I am saying is praying in tongues helps you to locate and will produce that Jesus peace on the inside of you. And he says, so watch what he says. So you don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I love what he says this, let not your heart be troubled. Now all of a sudden he says that's something for you to make sure you do. Don't you let your heart be troubled. So being troubled appears to be a decision that we make. Because if you can make a decision to be troubled, you can make a decision to not be troubled. You know, I was talking to Bishop Fuller the other day, and I said, you know, there were several things that happened yesterday on my way into the office. And I was meditating on what Taffy preached on Sunday. And she got to this part in this message on Sunday where, you know, she was talking about, you know, give thanks always. And then when you give thanks always, you'll always have, he will always cause you to triumph. He will always cause you to have victory. And when I saw that, I said, that's a sure thing. He always causes you to have victory. That's a sure thing. So who don't like a sure thing? That's a sure thing. He's saying by choosing to be thankful, you've now entered yourself in a position for a sure thing. Glory be to God. I don't have to wonder about if I'm gonna have victory. I just gotta replace the problem that I'm tempted to complain about with the thanksgiving. With the thanksgiving. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to do a whole lot of repenting for the problem I complained about. But eventually, before the end of that day, before I close my eyes, Lord, forgive me for that. I ran my mouth too much on that thing. I let that thing get in me. I did not choose to not be troubled. But you know what? Every time you choose to not be troubled, every time you make a choice, I won't be troubled. So I would say it was a like perfect day operating in this, because it was like, you know, you know how a dog just kind of growl? He don't bite, but he just. I had a couple of, but I didn't bite. I was like, and then the Spirit of God was talking to me. He says, you got to make a choice. I'm not going to make you not be troubled. I'm not going to make you to walk in the peace that I left you. A decision is an open door into reality.